good evening. It's nice to hear that last verse of Amazing Grace to just before you come up and preach. let's just open in prayer and then we'll start. Father, we again thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. Father, we thank you that we, Father, can learn from it, Lord, that we have hope from it, Father, that, Lord, we are here, and, Lord, we live a life, Father, that can be because of what you have done for us, Lord, the hope that we have. Father, I pray that as we open your word tonight, Lord, that it would be none of me, none of us, but, Father, that it would be what you would have for us tonight, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts tonight, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right, so January 1, so I thought of a very stereotypical kind of message and an exhortation tonight. You know, it's traditionally January 1 is a time of reflection, a time of looking forward and seeing, you know, what the year ahead's going to be or what the year that's just passed has been. There's always these year in reviews in social media, in news outlets, all these headlines, people that have passed, people, what accolades people have received, all these different types of things kind of happen around this time. And like I said, it's always a time of looking ahead and thinking, 2023, what is 2023 going to look like? You know, what are the desired things that I would like to have in 2023? And at the end of 2023, I would like to, and you fill in the blank. Something that I started to see towards the end of 2022, I was at a work conference, and there was a lot of conversation about our mindset. And, you know, what is your mindset heading into next year? As a team, what is our mindset? Because really our mindset determines our success, is what the quote was. And there was two buzzwords that they started throwing around. One was a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And the growth mindset was the one that everybody wanted. It's the one that you want to have. The growth mindset is it's the key to a healthy mind. It's a key to a good or positivity. It fosters development. It helps break down any sort of limitations to your learning. It helps, you know, remove those boundaries and get you where you want to be. A growth mindset. That's the key. That's the key to positivity and development in your own life. I read a quote on LinkedIn that says, "Your life depends on your mindset." And I thought, I can't agree with that more. That's a pretty insightful quote. Your life depends on your mindset. So it got me thinking about our mindset as a Christian. What is our mindset to be? Because the Bible does talk about a mindset. It does talk about where our mind is supposed to be. But rather than a growth mindset or a fixed mindset, it talks about a renewed mind, renewed mindset, even. One that demonstrates characteristics that are different to what we compare or what this world compares to. It's a new mindset. It's one that doesn't come from within, doesn't come from based on our experiences or who we are, but it comes from what God has deemed and what he has deemed as right. So what are the characteristics of a mindset? That's what I'd like to look at tonight briefly. There's two verses specifically that I'd like to look at tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, and Romans chapter 12, verse 2. These two verses give us two descriptions of a life or the results of a renewed mind, or what a renewed mind does and how they act. You know, perhaps so. As we start this year of 2023, we could maybe then focus on our New Year's resolution. This year could be a renewed mind. It could be the year that we are focused or we have our mind fixed on Him. Because a mind or a renewed mind is just that. It's moving away from our thoughts, moving away from our us as a focus and moving towards Him. Removing self and replacing it with Him. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 talks about the peace that comes from a mind that is fixed on Him, a mind that is fixed on Christ, on God. Isaiah 26:3 says that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The words perfect and peace in Isaiah, in this verse, in Isaiah 26:3, are actually the same word. So the literal translation is actually peace, peace. But the English language can't translate the fullness of this meaning, the fullness of this peace that comes when we are fixed, when we have our mind fixed on Him. The literal translation is peace, peace. So it is a complete peace that comes. The mind that is stayed on Him enjoys a complete, perfect peace. A mind that is cleaned out and replaced with His thoughts, with Him as the goal, cannot be explained, but can only be experienced. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you come back and think about the idea of a renewed mind, it assumes that there is one that we are already in. There is one mindset that we are naturally in, one that we naturally operate in. And if we are bringing in something new, it means that there must be something old. It is one that we can continue in. We can continue in the mindset that we are in. But you think about what is the outcome of that mindset? Where will you continue if you stay in that same mindset? So the instruction that Paul was giving to the Ephesians here was not one of stay in this mindset that you're in. Stay in what is natural to you. Stay in what is the default. But rather put this on which is new. The word renew means to renovate. It comes from the word that means young. So it gives the idea of renovate, so it is new, so it is young again. Having a renewed mind is acknowledging that what we have is not appropriate. What we have needs to be replaced. Paul is saying, take out what you have, replace it with this that is new. What we have has been influenced by that which is around us. What we have is, if unchecked, impacts the perception that we have on what is righteous and what is holy. We are to renew our mind and replace it with one that seeks to put on the new man. And that new man seeks righteousness and holiness. Specifically, his righteousness and his holiness. It is to be based off our Heavenly Father. So it is His attributes that we are to seek. And I think about that, you know, as I say that, it seems odd that we are to say we are to seek His righteousness to describe what we are to seek as. We are to seek His righteousness, His holiness. But we need to be specific in this day and age. We need to be specific on what righteousness or what holiness. The righteousness needs to be His. It cannot be our own. Man's righteousness seems to be a very real thing today. It's an oxymoron, but it's still very common. Man's righteousness. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, but we are all as unclean thing and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Man's righteousness is nothing but filthiness. You know, we see that all around us. Man's righteousness has corrupted all things that have been created for him and by him. Worship, praise, prayer, the gospel, ministries. How many examples do we see of men and women or men who have not removed the old way of thinking, who have not renewed their mind and have remained and continued and are continuing in positions of influence. Righteousness is defined as what is acceptable to God. So man's righteousness is man's definition of what is acceptable to God. It deceives man's righteousness, deceives man into thinking that what is actually sinful is righteous or is acceptable. You know, we're warned by that, again, in Titus 1:16, it says that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. I shared a little bit of this in my last message. I didn't actually share the full quote, but there is a project called the Reformation Project, nothing to do with Calvinism. This is a group of people who are looking to further and improve the status of the LGBTQ people within the church, within Christianity. This is their ministry as they see it. And this is an excerpt from the website on the About Us page. It says, "We seek to honour God with everything we do, with our lives and with our relationships. We seek to follow Jesus, worshipping him as God and emulating his life, teachings and ministry, especially in his treatment of those who were downtrodden and outcast." Righteousness, man's righteousness, man's sinfulness deceives and makes people think that what is good is making people think what is sinful is righteousness. In their works, they are denying him, as Titus says. And the scary thing is that none of us are that far from committing that which is offensive to God. We all have the ability in us, because of sin, to reach these depths of sin, this vileness that is in our hearts, our natural hearts. We are all capable of this. It only takes an unchecked mind or a heart to get us there. An unchecked mind or heart, and I say those things because really those are interchangeable. You know, we think about the things that we fill our mind with impacts how we feel, and the things that we feel impacts how we think. So those things that are unchecked, you know, we're not that far off it. We need to keep those in check. We need to have those things renewed. Our minds left unchecked, left in their own world, lead men to do things that they don't think or they didn't think that they would do. And so the call from Paul here is to renew, renovate, make new, remove the old, replace with this new. Make the mindset that you view God with, the mindset that you view the Word with, his praise with, his worship, how you view your life before him. Make that as the mind of a man who is seeking his righteousness, his holiness in all things. Paul then talks about righteousness and true holiness. You know, this is a more of a practical holiness here. We see that righteousness is that which is acceptable to God, and holiness is defined as that which is set apart for God. So Paul is saying the new man that we are to put on, this new mind that we have, is seeking to put on the new man. The new man is one that is seeking to understand what true holiness is. What he wants as what a life separated for his glory is, what for his purpose and as his possession, what that life looks like. He determines that. God determines that, not us. Now, we can't define what a life separated for God is. We can't define what holiness is. God determines that. And we know that our justification, our presentation is holy before the God, before God, our positional holiness, our position as holy before God comes when we are saved, comes when we put our trust in Christ. It can only come when we repent of our sin, when we turn from our sin, when we turn to Christ. Only then can we truly seek to live a life that seeks to put this practical holiness in, when we put this new man in. Because only then can we actually understand what true holiness is, or even have the power to do so. So before we look into this, I ask the question to you tonight. If you have not put your trust in Christ or repented of your sin, I will challenge you to examine yourself tonight. No matter what is your position before God tonight? Have you repented? Have you turned to Christ? Are you simply seeking to do what is right without a true understanding of what holiness is or what the holiness that God expects? Are you just trying to live a good life? Because it can't be done without Him. He determines what is good. He determines what is holy, and we are not holy. We need to be justified by His goodness, by the death of His Son. Are you trying to live a good life without knowing what that is? Without knowing that we can't reach there ourselves? Where are you tonight? If you are saved, are you seeking this practical holiness, this true holiness that Paul is talking of here? Seeking to renew your mind and to live a life where we are living according to what God has determined is a life set apart from Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 is a great example of this, where Paul says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Paul is talking to the believing saint in this passage, bringing up that thought of you are saved, you are positionally holy, but continue in that true holiness, in that practical holiness. Seek to be more like Him. You know, think about what the Apostle Paul was dealing with when he was talking to the Ephesians at this time. I like looking at the context of, you know, who was he talking to? What were the people at this time dealing with when they were listening to him? The Ephesians were known for magic arts. They were known for all these types of things, which led to, after Paul's ministry, that bonfire in Acts 19, where books with spells were thrown in and they were burnt up. You know, it was a renewing of the mind. It was a change in their hearts. This wasn't part of a tradition. This wasn't part of something that Paul called them to do. This came out of a reaction of their heart. It came from them. It was a genuine work, a genuine renewing of their mind that led to this action in the people here. So, brethren, a renewed mind, a renewed mindset leads to us seeking His righteousness, His holiness. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Actually, I want to read this with the first verse, because I feel like you can't read it without that first verse. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's two words here that are kind of key in this verse: conformed and transformed. The first is conformed. Don't be like the world. Don't fashion yourself to be like this world. Don't be influenced by this world. Don't use the world as a mirror when you wake up before you go out in the morning. Don't ask the world how you look before you go out. If anything, ignore it. Do the opposite. The second is be transformed. It is literally to metamorphose into something else. Because it is not simply avoiding the world. It is not simply just not doing wrong, but there needs to be a change of heart, a change of mind, which is new, a metamorphose. There's a beautiful image that illustrates this point in God's creation. The metamorphic rock. Metamorphic rocks are formed when there is some type of rock, a sedimentary rock or igneous, and if it's exposed to extreme pressure or extreme heat, it changes the rock into a different type of rock, like marble. Marble is formed when limestone is heated to such an extreme temperature that the minerals grow larger and fuse together, and it creates marble. So this rock, with this extreme pressure, extreme heat, turns into a different type of rock. Now, marble is a stone that you associate with luxury, with high end, with beauty. What an image of a rock that is put under extreme pressure, heat, that turns into something that is beautiful. And a beautiful illustration of Romans chapter 1, verse 2, I feel, because it is the metamorphosis of our minds, it is the transformation of our minds that allows us to prove or to test what is good and acceptable. And what is good and acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God? To be a living sacrifice. And I feel like that living sacrifice is that pressure, is that extreme pressure, extreme heat in our life. It is the extreme pressure, the extreme heat of a living sacrifice, or a life that is lived in sacrifice, that helps us understand or helps us see the value in God, the value in that. The pressure and heat of a life sacrificed to God produces a spiritual wonder of a life that sees good in sacrifice. I'll say that again because I lost myself. The pressure and heat of a life sacrificed to God produces a spiritual wonder of a life that sees good in that sacrifice. We are not going to see anything good in a life that is sacrificial unless we have a renewed mindset. You know, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, if you think about that as a description, a sacrifice is about killing something and offering it to God. So we are to be a living sacrifice. We are to live through the dying of ourselves. We are to live through the dying as we are offering to God. The dying of our flesh, the sacrifice of our flesh for his service. It's painful. This is difficult and is often not wanted. And I thought about Dad this morning where he was talking about our devices, our phones. I thought, oh, that's painful. Because I'm guilty of that. That is painful because it hurts personally. It is a living sacrifice. You are living through the death and the attacking of that. And so this extreme pressure and heat that causes this transformation, that results in a life that is able to test what is good and acceptable. That is the mindset that we are to have. So one that is putting on the new man, and one that is seeking righteousness, and one that is living a sacrificial life. So the question, I guess, becomes, how do we get this renewed mind? And the answer is obviously God. That is obviously the answer. There's no secret. God is the answer. His power, his ability. That is the constant in this scenario. God is the constant. His desire to work in us is always there. It's always true. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, "A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." That word spirit in the Hebrew means mind, heart. It means these kind of, it's been translated a number of ways in the Old Testament. But that is God's attitude to us, his approach to us. He wants to give us this new mind. But what is our attitude? What is our approach to God? Now, that's really the variable there, isn't it? God is the constant and we are the variable. That word spirit is the same word that we see in Psalm 51. This well-known psalm of David's plea for forgiveness. after he's been confronted with the sin of Bathsheba. If you turn to Psalm 51, we'll just look at the first 12 verses. In my Bible, we've got it split. The first 6 verses is looked at, is categorized as his plea for forgiveness. Psalm 51, verse 1 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Again, thinking about David's position when he's writing this psalm of brokenness, his sin has been put before him, and there is brokenness there. He's offended by what he's seen. He's pleading for forgiveness. And in verse 7, he starts for his plea of cleansing. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit." You know, the position that David was in at this time, his sin had been presented back to him, and he's offended by it, and he's kind of retreated back to this position of, "I need to change where I'm at, I need to change my mindset, I need God to come and renew my spirit, renew my mind, my heart, because of what I've seen." David was in this horrible time, and this is kind of what's caused this desire, but there is an opportunity for us, for you and I, to simply come to him and ask for this same renewal of our mind, this same renewal of our heart. Not because of our sin that has been brought forward, not because of this confronting, offensive sin that has been brought before us and under strong conviction, but just because of love. Out of pure love for the Lord, we can come before him and we can have that same desire that David had, to have a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. So on this January 1st, 2023, you know, questions are always going to come up. What does this year have for me? You know, what will I do this year? What should I do? What's going to happen? Where will I go? And it's natural to think what the year ahead has for us. Now back to Romans 12 verse 2, it talks about that this testing helps us understand what the will of God is for our life, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To test what the will of God is for our lives. So it's through a mindset, a renewed mindset, one that is stayed on him, that we're able to understand and test what the will of God is for our life. Because outside of that, how are we doing it? Outside of testing, outside of seeking him, how are we determining what God's will for our life is? In Ephesians 4:17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." You know, New Year's is a classic time of people showing the vanity of their mind. Resolutions are all about, "I want to stop drinking for 6 months. Or I want to stop swearing for however. I want to lose 10 kilos. Or I want to learn a new language. Or I want to be kinder to people." Whatever it is. All these different types of resolutions. All sorts of things that have no eternal value or even secular value, really. Yeah, things are void. They're just worthless. I challenge you tonight, challenge myself, that we would seek to have a mind and a heart that is renewed. That we would seek a renewed mindset, one that is stayed on him, one that is seeking to put on the new man, one that is seeking righteousness, seeking true holiness, and is able to test what the perfect will for God in our lives is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your word. Father, we thank you that it is clear. We thank you, Lord, that it is simple and practical, Lord, for us to be able to take on. And Father, I pray that as, Lord, we've sought you tonight, Lord, that what you've spoken to us, Lord, would be applied in our lives. Lord, that we would seek to be more like you. Lord, that we would seek to be people this year, Lord, who are desiring, Lord, to remove more of us and put more of you in. Lord, that we would seek to honor you in all things, Father. We pray these things in your name.